Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she went to bed like usual and then woke up with a sheet on top of her comforter. How did that happen?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Share your real ghost stories with us. You can call in anytime, 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you'd prefer to have a commercial-free version of the show, you'll also get advanced episodes and access to the archive. You can become a premium subscriber if you go through Apple Podcasts. You can try it for 3 days free, see if you like it. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and my sister Kathy Gordon's with me today.
I am. Hello.
Hey, I think it would sure be creepy to wake up and have all your bedding like on the wrong way.
Upsy over. Well, like, I was thinking, you know, when you said that, and I thought, yes, but I have slept with people that I think could do that, that were super Houdinis, because my sister Cheryl would like literally walk just in bed and all the way around. So she would be, you know, like a spinning top all the way around. She would end up with her head down at one end and this end, and the blankets are upside down and right side up and off the bed and on the bed. And it would just, she was, when we were kids, three or four of us would sleep in one bed and give her the other one all to herself just so we wouldn't have to sleep with her.
Yeah, because she really didn't move around a lot.
Oh, my God. And she kicked hard. She'd always leave you all banged up. So nobody wanted to sleep with her. So if anybody could do that, Cheryl could.
That could be the debunkable thing. You know, maybe that's what this is all about. Maybe she was a sleeper like that and like somehow got the bedding off and then pulled it up a different way, flipped it inside out. I don't know. So here's the story.
Yeah, let's hear the story and then we can decide.
I have always been very close to the world of the unknown. As a child, I lived in a haunted townhouse. My parents' closet door would open and close at night. The dog would bark down the stairs at nothing. I would hear footsteps that were not just the creaking of the place, but actual step-by-step footsteps that you could hear walking in one direction and then stopping. Images would appear in the mirror that were not there when you turn around. That's like one of my biggest freakouts. It's like
I'm so
looking
scared.
In a mirror.
Haunted mirror things are so creepy.
Mm-hmm. I figured that there were two spirits there, one good and one bad, then a third that was neither good nor bad. One spirit was a good spirit in a mirror that was inhabited by the deceased who it used to belong to. One spirit was in a doll and one in the house, which I found out after someone had committed suicide. That's interesting that this person would know all of those things. There were many strange occurrences in that house and the townhouse down the way from us had a poltergeist. My dad was the manager of the complex, and so when the couple with a young child came to them and told him that there was a man sitting on their washing machine who appeared then disappeared, he thought they were nuts. They moved out because of the poltergeist until the people who moved in after them had left half their stuff behind and didn't say a word, just up and left. So my guess is the same thing. Could you imagine seeing a man sitting on your washing machine and then he disappears?
No, that would be holy shit. Yeah.
That'd be too much.
Yeah.
So needless to say, I grew up around it. And being someone who has always been in touch with it, as well as living with it, I have had a few experiences. I have seen several ghosts in different forms, from a moving statue to a fog-like image hovering over the bell tower of an old hotel on a clear night, to a full black shadow figure of a man at the entrance of my room. My God. Mm-hmm. And she's wondering about the sheets?
I'm interested in that statue that was moving.
We have so many things we could talk to this person about.
Yeah.
A few months ago, I had a physical encounter, which was very odd. Every time I went to bed, after a few moments, I would feel someone petting my head, actually physically touching my head and rubbing back. I could feel my hair moving around, and it was really disturbing. After about a week and a half of that and hearing footsteps come to my room and I would see shadows moving around my room at the same time. I had had enough, and I verbally, out loud, told whoever it was to leave me alone. It took a few days, but then they went away. What has me writing in on this site is not the encounters I've had with ghosts and the paranormal, but the experience I recently had that I just can't decide if it is related. First, you have to understand that I am obsessive about making my bed. I make it just the way I like it, and I put my sheet on first and then the comforter. I also fold up a smaller blanket at the foot of my bed if I need it. This past weekend, I woke up confused because my comforter was on top of me and my sheet on top of the comforter, and it was so neat and tidy. It looked like I hadn't even been sleeping on my bed at all. And the blanket that is usually folded nicely was a mess on the floor. I have had sleepwalking experiences before, but I remember them and I just walk and talk. I never actually do anything. The last few weeks, I've felt a presence in my room and feel someone watching me. So was the complete switch of the comforter on the bottom and the sheet on the top a moment of confusion and I was sleepwalking and I just don't remember, or was it a spirit in my room? On another note about the beginning statements, the ghost in the mirror I figured out because when we moved, I felt the one spirit finally gone. I could still feel the other and I could always feel it come and go and watch. I moved it to the garage and then there wasn't any more of that. I'm not totally sure what that all means. Like, I guess the ghost in the mirror, she moved the mirror to the garage.
Yeah, that's what I got. Yeah, that the okay. Once the mirror got put away, then that kind of.
And then it says the doll is weird because wherever she is in the room, it gets cold. And as long as she is there, the room will turn ice cold until she is removed. I have her in the basement, away from the bedroom, and in a closet.
Hmm. I'm wondering if a nice garage sale might solve some of these problems.
Do you really want to sell the haunted doll at a garage sale? Do you kind of feel like it should go with a little warning?
Well, there might be somebody out there that really, you know, instead of paying for air conditioning, would like to cool off a room.
It is so hot in this room. Could you go get the doll?
That's
kind of a really good idea.
You know, it's an idea, but like, you know, you've got to put up with the creepy haunting part of it, you know, but.
As the doll sits there and watches you walk around the room, yeah, judging you.
And then
the
somebody
time.
With the mirror, this you just got some lonely person that wants somebody to, you know, be around them. They can just look in the mirror, you know. I mean, there could be people out there that for some reason would like these things. That's what, you know, my thought is.
So it's so interesting to me because after all of those things, it's like she's clear on all of it, except the last sentence says, well, in short, that is what I have to say. So were the sheets being moved by a ghost? So I don't know. It's so hard is so hard for us to say. Obviously.
Well, it's so interesting because my confusion is exactly the same as her confusion. I totally buy all the other things. I'm like, oh, sure, mirrors, creepy, dolls, creepy, footsteps. Yep, you can hear them. You know, all the things. You might see somebody, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yep, totally, totally, totally get it. You get to this bed one and I'm like, well, could there be some way that you did this? I, you know, without seeing it myself, how exactly immaculate was it? Precise was it on the bed?
It does kind of act like it was pretty... I don't see where, but I thought she said it was very neat. Like it was neatly
super
done.
Well done.
It wasn't like you had kicked all of your covers off.
Mm-hmm.
It was a complete switch of the comforter put on the bottom, the sheet on the top. It was so neat and tidy. It looked like I hadn't even been sleeping in my bed at all.
I have to be honest, I would totally flip out.
See,
what
like,
about you?
I would too. I have a blanket that I leave folded at the foot of my bed, kind of like how she does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it is there every single night. Like I never, ever, ever, ever kick it off.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just leave it there. And then sometimes when it's colder, I use that additionally. But mm-hmm. I never kick it off. So
yeah.
I wake up and I don't move around much when I sleep. So I don't really have much of a bed to make in the morning. I just kind of pull everything out.
See, I'm the same way. Like if I just kind of slide out of bed, I really don't even have to make it.
Yeah, I just kind
of... I just put the pillow up, yeah. You know. I am not a tosser and turner. So I have to say that if my sheet was on top of my, you know, a comforter, I would flip out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go, yeah, paranormal. And that's kind of from my experience, because I kind of feel like this person is kind of a neat freak too, and kind of, you know, is very precise on how things are. And man, I would flip out if I woke up and my sheet was on top of my bed.
And it was neatly done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think
I'm gonna go with it.
Well, and this is a person who's had a lot of other experiences and didn't ask one question about all that other shit, but this one,
yeah, was like we saw a guy sitting on the washing machine.
There's the washing machine guy, the ghost mirror, the doll, the this, the that, the other, the footsteps. But what about this? So,
and I think I just know if it happened to me, I would just lose it, because that would absolutely have to be paranormal for it to happen to me. And since I just feel like this person feels the same way, you know, that it really was very disturbing for them.
Well, let's go to a call. Here you go.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Lila. I'm from Arkansas, and I am 17 years old, but when I was 13, my mother passed away. My mother was mentally ill, and she was always, which made me and her very close. And when she passed away due to addiction problems, it ripped me up. And I always felt like she was still here, but it wasn't in a very direct manner. Like she was only active at certain times, and even then she was pretty much gone. I want to tell you about a couple experiences that I had right after she died, and I had to find them first because they were written in a journal somewhere. The first one, which I don't think had anything to do with her necessarily, was right after she died. My stepdad and I, he flew in from California, and we were just, it was just he and I in her house. And he was upstairs in the back room watching TV, and I was downstairs in the back room watching TV. And it was a pretty big house. It was just she and I in it most of the time because my stepfather traveled for work. So we were alone. And some weird stuff had happened when I was a kid. Sometimes I would be cleaning the kitchen, and I sang, not if I had on actual music, but if I sang, I would hear footsteps coming from the bathroom that was right across from the kitchen. It would sound like somebody was walking out. And it was always, it always kind of freaked me out. And I stopped singing in the kitchen shortly after that, and I would turn on music just so I didn't have to hear footsteps. And I always thought that maybe it was my mother walking around upstairs, but her room was not above that room. In fact, it was our bathroom, but nobody walked. It was basically a wall separating the bathroom and the guest room, so there was nobody walking there for obvious reasons. And one night I was down there, and this is shortly after she died, I think it was maybe the night of the funeral, and I was watching TV, and I could see there were two French doors, and the French doors were open leading out to the dining room. The kitchen was right off that, and the lights were kind of dim, but I could still see things. And something out of the corner of my eye, I watched somebody, it looked like a bald man, like an old man, maybe in his 50s but still fit, just wearing a white button-up t-shirt, maybe from work, walking straight into the kitchen. And this house is old. I mean, it used to be three apartments. There are stairs and extra doors everywhere all over the house because it used to be in so many different sections. And I saw this man walk into the kitchen, and I thought it was my stepdad, but I was like, that's strange. He's a big guy. He wouldn't just walk around in a t-shirt. So I went into the back kitchen, and I didn't see him. And I was like, okay, I need to check this out. So I went upstairs and I said, hey, did you just walk into the kitchen? He was like, no, I didn't just go in the kitchen. I said, well, somebody just did. Somebody's in his house. And so he was really freaked out. And we walked all around that house. I mean, went in and out of every room and did not see anybody. And all the doors were still locked. And it's such an old house that the locks make a lot of noise. And they're really, especially the back door, which is in the kitchen, is really hard to unlock. And nothing, it wasn't unlocked or anything. In fact, the key was still on the hook. So it wasn't like anybody could have left. And after that, we just kind of let it go and didn't speak of it again. Well, I was 15, and it was the 2 year, I was a couple months before the 2 year anniversary of my mom's death, which was November 3rd. This went from October all the way until late December. It first started when one night I was on the phone with my boyfriend, and I was standing outside my room, and I basically, outside, you go outside my room and you have stairs going straight down to the kitchen. We have two staircases, and they both lead up to a single room. There's sort of like a little hallway, but not really. It's just like, it's basically like a little balcony. And I hang out, I have a little rack up there and I hang clothes up on it. So I was out there talking to my boyfriend, and I heard somebody say my name from behind me on the stairs, whispering it. And I thought it was my little brother because he didn't want to disturb me while I was on the phone. And I turned around and there was nobody there. Well, I just figured, okay, whatever, they're just screwing with me. So I went back inside and in my room. And then later at dinner, I said, hey, did anybody need me for something? And they said, no, we haven't been on your side of the house. And I'm basically, it's just me and the TV room on this side of the house. And we call it the silo because I'm just so cut off from the rest of the house. And then everybody else was on the other side. They were in the kitchen and the living room, and nobody was over by me. And so I just thought that was weird. And then another night, I came home from work around 10:30, and I was laying in bed, and I heard chairs moving downstairs. And like one of them was being pushed out. I figured it might have been the dogs, but we got a new table and I can't climb through the bars like that. And it was so late, they already would have climbed out from dinner. So, because sometimes they get into there while we're eating. So I went down there the next morning, and my stepmom's chair had been moved out like somebody was about to sit in it. And my mom and my stepmom did not get along at all. And shortly after, a few days after, my stepmom moved out. They were separated. They're currently divorced, but they were separated at that point. And I thought that was really weird that something like that was happening. And this was all right by my mom's death. One night, we had an old landline that I used to call my boyfriend on. And one night, the phone was in my room, and I didn't hear it ring at all. I think I heard it ring. And then I went upstairs to get it, and it stopped ringing. So I figured he'd hung up on me or whatever. So I called him back, and he said, did you just answer the phone? And I said, no. And he's like, somebody just answered the phone and breathed into the phone. And I was like, that wasn't me. And there's only one phone, though, is the problem. And I was downstairs at dinner with everybody whenever he called. So it's not like anybody else could have answered the phone. And we never figured out, but he said he heard breathing, just like somebody picked up the phone and they hung up on him. The fourth one, the radio turned on. I have an old stereo in my room. It's an old stereo. It's probably from the early 2000s. But one night it turned on by itself. And that's never happened. That's never happened. Another time there was an electrical surge. Everything else in my room was fine and on. Another night I was laying in bed and I heard somebody, like, it was like my mom's pitter patter of her feet. And she always walked around barefoot, and she was kind of heavy, so she waddled a little bit. It wasn't really heavy. She was just old. But she waddled around a little bit. And it was her footsteps, and I was hearing them walking underneath my room and like on the first like four or five stairs, but she never got above that. And I never called out to her. I never said, hey mom, is that you? Because I'm a pagan, and I've learned that if it does not feel exactly like the spirit that you know it is, you don't mess with it. At least that's what I've always decided. And I've never contacted her. I just decided not to, because my mom, honestly, I feel like death was sort of it was a release for her, because she could not escape the mental illness. And it didn't seem to matter. She was borderline bipolar disorder, and that's very hard to treat. And she wouldn't accept that was the issue. She always thought it was something else. So I just decided to let mom, you know, hopefully in death, she was herself again and she felt better. And I really hope that's how she feels. And I think that she was just around for that period of time because things were really chaotic. And it was right around her death day, and I needed her really bad. So tell me what you think, and if that was my mom or if that was whoever it was. But I definitely feel like the spirit that was in my mom's house originally, that was not her. So thank you, guys. Bye.
I have to say, I do think that was her mother.
I do, too. And I want to also say that this young woman sounds like a really fantastic person, and that she's gone through a lot. I know that it's difficult to live with someone with mental illness, really difficult. And it sounds like she has done really well for herself. Didn't you get that feeling?
Yeah, she sounds...
She's very well-spoken.
But I thought that one thing she said was really interesting to me about not calling out to a spirit unless you're 100% you know that's who it is. And of course, there's no way you could 100% ever know. But I thought that's interesting. And she's probably right. Like, if it was her mother, that's enough of the connection. Hearing your mother, knowing that she was there, not interacting with her.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like the place was really haunted anyway.
I know. That's what I thought too, because I honestly think the man she saw in the kitchen probably didn't have anything to do with her mother.
Agreed. I think there
I'm thinking that was just somebody that lived in the apartments or something. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I agree. I don't think that had one thing to do with her mom.
Yeah.
And she's obviously very sensitive, so she can pick up on that. Where somebody else might live there and not have the experience at all.
And then there were, like, the other things, like, you know, well, of course, she heard her, you know, her name being called. And I think that, to me, it happens to me on occasion, not super often, but, you know, enough that when, you know, when it does, it really does jolt you because you know that somebody said your name and they feel like they were right around you when they did. And you know how I feel about that. I've always thought that's an open consciousness kind of channel that you're, you know, it happens a lot when you chill out. She happened to be on the phone, so she was just completely zoned into the phone call or whatever. And it kind of, I think, sometimes just opens you up so that you hear things. Maybe, you know, taps into the spiritual world a little bit. Or sometimes I even think it could tap into this world a little and you actually can hear other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But I think so with that,
she's definitely sensitive.
And I think with that happening around her mother's, the day of her mother's death, and she needed her mom, I think that her mom showed up for her, which, interestingly enough, sounds like that might not have happened much in real life. So that would be so hard.
But, like, maybe she's right, you know, maybe she's, you know, found some peace, found some calm, and is able to maybe be more present in her life now, you know?
Yeah, she wasn't a very good mom here, but maybe she's a better mom now. I thought that was good. So if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it. Call in anytime, 855-853-4802. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can get ad-free versions of the show along with advanced episodes and access to the archive by becoming a premium subscriber. Go through Apple Podcasts. You can also go through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.